When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
LFG! What's going on? Willard and Dibs, fresh off of the Buster Posey press conference, ready to rock all afternoon long, and Matt Cain and Ryan Vogelsong will both be a part of the show today. Matt Cain coming on in 15 minutes. Am I doing the show solo for a little bit?
No, you're good.
Oh, look at you.
I'm going to go Bob Barker
it's
handheld.
It's Lounge Act Dibs,
totally.
Ladies and gentlemen. Get over to YouTube and watch. Dan Dibley, do the whole show on a wireless microphone.
Fly me to the moon. Hey, everybody, thanks for coming
in. Dude, you really broke that sucker. That sucker's,
no.
Or who did?
It has been broken, and I don't want to point fingers,
no, but
I will.
It's like you can see the whole crack in that thing.
It's been dangly for a couple of weeks, and I can tell you this, that the two people who share this workstation are both much more aggressive with the grabbing and the moving of the microphone.
They're emotional people.
Joe Shasky.
And Guru.
And Daryl Johnson.
Yeah, they're very emotional people. I love that about them.
When you watch me do the show with you, I am seated 100% of the time.
Yeah.
I very rarely will move this up and down or all around.
Well, I've actually talked to the office to see if you even need a microphone.
You've tried.
I talked to Matt about that, and he so far has been resistant to the idea. Just an idea. I threw it out there.
Yeah.
Just to see what people think.
I feel like I've been on a little bit of a heater for about 3 or 4 months.
You're
much
doing
great. More active. Feeling good about the show. I'm loving the show. The audience is been very involved in the show, but about 2 weeks ago I noticed that the dangle was dramatic, and I tried to fix it. There's like 3 or 4 different things you can twist and adjust, and none of them seemed to work, and now it is all over.
It's one of the big differences between you and me. You see something wrong, you try to fix it.
Yep.
I call someone. I'd have called someone about 3 weeks ago.
And I should have.
Like, this thing's messy. You should fix it.
I feel bad. Tim Jordan and Tak Leong, two of our great engineers,
they're
running around doing everything. And Tim Jordan yesterday was out at Warriors Media Day. And so sometimes I feel bad about, hey, can you come in here and adjust my headphone volume?
It is their job.
I know, but
their
job is, and
what if they got home and wanted to talk to their wife and they're like, hold on, like, I'm going to call Dibs. He's a talker. Dibs,
right.
Will you come talk for me?
I'll do it.
Yeah, I know.
I know
you will.
I'll talk to Mrs. Jordan or Mrs. Leong.
Do your job.
It's what I do.
Anyway.
This thing's broken.
Matt Cain in 15 minutes, 888-957-957 is the number. You know what I thought coming out of today? And great to see the assembled media. I will tell you this. There was a little bit of a buzz in the room. There was an excitement. And this is not a room that was filled with fans. Sure, a lot of the people there worked for the San Francisco Giants, so they're excited. But even the media, like, there's just one of those things. When you walk into a room, what's the feel? I can remember being in the room the day that they hired Gabe Kapler. And the feeling in the room was,
it was anger, yeah.
I'm not comfortable with this. And like question 1, 2, 3, and 4 was like, so about that pass with the Dodgers.
Totally.
You know what I mean? And then you have various Farhan press conferences at different times throughout the last 6 years. And you walk into a room and there's a vibe, right? After 107 wins, you walk in and everybody's peacocking. And then a couple years later, you walk in and you're like, what the hell's going on around here? And like, why does that guy not have a job and this guy has a job or whatever? You walked into the room today and everybody was just smiling.
Giddy.
It felt like everybody had just taken a shower after a hike.
Right.
That's the best way I can describe it. It's not like, okay, we're done, everything's wonderful, but that's how it felt. You sit down on the couch with a drink after a shower, after a long hike.
When you take your shoes off that first time and you peel, and you have to peel your socks off, and then your feet are like, starting to cool off, and then slowly you hop in the shower, and after that first like 60 seconds of rinse, you're like, oh my God. Yeah, I didn't realize how dirty I was.
So that's how it felt walking in.
That's a good call. I'm going to give you a 4.
Thank you. And then Buster's first few comments, I think, are going to land well with fans, which to me, I would summarize by saying, look, this is we need good baseball players, like really good baseball players who will create memories for you and your family. I thought that was a great way to start the whole thing. But then after that, the rest of the way, and this is not a bad thing, this should have been expected. He's 37 years old. And at least if you listen to him tell the story, he essentially thought of this as an idea about 4 or 5 weeks ago.
He's 37?
He's 37 years old.
Oh my God, he's a baby.
He's a little pup.
He should still be playing.
Yeah, he's a cute little thing. And maybe he will.
Pete Rose, rest in peace, played till he was 45.
Right.
Buster, what are you doing?
37.
Yeah.
37 years old.
Quitter.
So,
exactly. Sorry.
So, then the rest of the press conference happened, and I went, oh my gosh, I love that you just called him a pup. Buster Posey is the Bryce Eldridge of baseball executives. And so the excitement is warranted. The good feelings, the good vibes, it's all warranted. I think the optimistic predictions, they are warranted. But make no mistake, he's green.
Green.
That is a green banana. As far as this role is concerned, and he's Buster, so he's not going to just go out there and be like, all right, we need a shortstop. Like, that's never the way he's been. So I get why his answers didn't sound like that. But as you got deeper into the conversation, there's a lot of answers that he either doesn't have yet or he's not willing to share yet. And that is because I think you could feel that Buster's like, look, we're taking this job. And then we got a lot of things to learn here and figure out in the next few months. I don't think they tried to hide that. That's a good thing. But fans should also know that. Buster is not going to come into this all seasoned as if he's built franchises before.
And he hasn't. And so really what it comes down to is what Tim Roy might call a delegation sensation. Because as the president of baseball ops, you need to surround yourself with good people. And he said already, you know, what's the first thing you're going to do? Well, I'm going to look to hire a GM, and I'm going to get off the phone here. I'm going to get off the stage today, and I'm going to go out and find candidates and start interviews and find my right-hand man or woman. He said, I think he said girl, but he meant, you know, person, man or woman, doesn't matter. Somebody with real GM experience. So he's going to find that person. Then you're going to look for scouting, and you're going to look at what you want to do with your scouting department. And it seems to him that scouting is more important than maybe it was for Farhan Zaidi. I don't know what the scouting was like. I do know that he recently fired 4 scouts within the last month. And so it sounds like Buster Posey's more interested in scouting than the previous regime. So you hire a GM, you look at scouting, you figure out what you can do to get your talent evaluation better, and then you set about looking at this roster, and then you get into the offseason, which will be in about a month after the baseball playoffs are over, and you make decisions about your players, and you look at other players, and then the winter meetings and all the rest of it. So I love what he said about approaching it the way he did as a player, which is day-to-day. So today is October 1st. What can he do today to advance his franchise, advance his cause as the new Pobo?
Well, this is one of the questions that was thrown to him. And it was, I think, as things were developing, it was a question in the room of like, okay, you're in charge. You want to hire a GM quickly. Like, are you down in the clubhouse most days? Are you going on every road trip? Are you on the plane? Are you making every decision? Or are you handing some of that stuff off? So that was asked of him. Here's what he said.
I think that remains to be seen. Again, I mentioned empowering. We're gonna bring in a GM, and I think once that comes in, some of the delegation will take shape a little bit more. I want to be as useful as I can to be with all the people that I'm working with, but also having in mind and understanding that it's somewhat of a delicate balancing act, to where I don't want to be the type of leader that is constantly feeling like I'm looking over somebody's shoulder as well. So I think a lot of that is going to be handled over these next weeks, month, as we start to have more conversations and get synced up more.
So I think what you can hear there is, for instance, this is almost like Kyle Shanahan hiring an offensive coordinator. That's what Farhan did with Pete Petilla. Oh, Pete Petilla's the GM, and then you never heard his name ever again.
That's a good call.
That's like Kyle Shanahan like hiring an offensive coordinator. We know who's in charge. Buster Posey's actually going to have an offensive coordinator. Like, and you mentioned man or woman. I'll tell you, one of the very first names that comes to mind is Kim Ng, who is no longer with the Florida or Miami Marlins, you want to call them. Yeah. She is tremendous. She is sharp. She is experienced. She has had the role. That, I think, would be, and I think there are a few names out there that are interesting to me. That's just one of them. But I like that kind of a GM, like actually a GM.
Right. Somebody who knows baseball, somebody who's been in baseball, and somebody who can oversee all parts of an organization, from scouting, roster management, salary management, and all the rest of it. And somebody that Buster Posey can lean on for their expertise. Because you mentioned it, Buster Posey comes in with no experience, zero, other than coming in and making the Matt Chapman deal happen. And, you know, whether or not he played a huge role in it, it seems like he stepped in at the last minute and talked to Matt Chapman and said, you want to be here, we want you here, let's do this. And so he kind of closed that deal based on the reports that I've heard. And so that might have been his first act. But the fact that Matt Chapman is here, Matt Chapman is probably as close to a guy as Buster Posey as there is on this team. I mean, a guy who's going to show up every day, a good, solid dude, somebody who loves baseball, plays it the right way. So I'm looking for Buster to build this franchise, build this organization in the model of himself and Matt Chapman.
Okay, so that's a fun question, by the way.
Yeah.
And I know the media and Scott Boras sparred over who signed Matt Chapman.
Right.
Well, let's put a couple puzzle pieces together on some things that I heard today. Matt Chapman's new extension was signed on September 5th. Obviously, that means there had been discussion leading up to September 5th. We also heard it came together rather quickly. So maybe, I don't know, go back about a couple weeks before that. But September 5th is when it was signed. I sat next to Greg Johnson. This was after the whole press conference was over, because everybody splits off and goes to their corners. And I eavesdropped on Greg Johnson talking.
You eavesdropping? Well,
I was part of the assembled group.
Ear hustling.
And Kawakami asked him, when did this become a thing? Because everyone's like, oh, Farhan, are they going to, like, when did they decide? When was Buster Posey going to become the guy? Greg Johnson goes, about a month ago. About a month ago. Today's October 1st. So what's about a month ago? A month ago would be about September 1st.
Look at you, puzzle pieces.
Matt Chapman was signed on September 5th. So who signed the deal? Farhan was already gone.
I'm going to call you Rubik's Cube.
It's not that complicated. I didn't really do much there. But
no, that was impressive.
Thank you.
You brought it home.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? And guess what? We're going to use that guest line now. Coming up here in just a second, Matt Cain.
Mm.
He's had a Buster hug before. I wonder if he's going to give him another one now. The Cainer is next on Willard and Dibbs.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
But now looking into Buster Posey. One ball and two strikes.
back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Summer 2012, and I would rank that grounder to Arias. I would rank that among my top five split-second oblique moments as a sports fan. When Arias grabs the ground ball and then looks like he's going to trip and fall.
Yeah. And still has time to make the throw.
But he's wobbly. It looks like he's going to fall. Then it looks like he's going to hawk the ball over the first baseman's head. But somehow it got into the glove before the runner got there.
And Kipe's description echoed your feelings.
Totally.
Deep third.
Oh, crap. And then you know what I liken it to? World Series 2014. Mad bump, mad bump, pitch all the innings, was up there in the ninth, and the ball goes into the gap in left center field. Correct me if I'm wrong, that was Juan Perez. Is that who that was out there? Was it Juan Perez?
He was in the outfield. I think he was in left field.
Yeah, I can't remember which outfielder it was, but remember, the ball goes deep to left center. He's got a one-run game.
Game seven.
And he's rounding second, and people start fumbling and bumbling the ball out there. And remember, he took forever to get the ball to Crawford in mid-left, and there was that moment where your stomach dropped and went, oh, my God, they're going to inside the park this thing and tie it. And then the third base coach put up the stop sign.
Mm.
Put up the stop sign, which was the right thing to do. Crawford would have thrown him out by 10 feet. But he put up the stop sign, and we got the
Out to third.
Salvador Perez?
Yep.
Is that right? With Mad Bum throwing the fastball.
The only one who had gotten an earned run against him the entire series. Yeah. He had a solo home run.
Yeah. So those are two of the moments that popped to mind right away of things that ended well, but a split second before they happened. Oh, Schmidt.
Totally.
Yeah.
No doubt. That whole game when he came in and got the final 16 outs was like nail-biting and white-knuckling after white-knuckle, because it was pretty clear the Giants weren't going to score again.
Oh, I don't even know how they scored to begin with.
Exactly.
Michael Morse hit a ball, exit velo 12, that went over the first baseman's head, and the Giants scored, and then that was it. And we've got, you know, Joe Panic over at second base, and we're making plays, and we're doing reviews, and Mad Bum for six innings or whatever it was, five innings. Yep. That whole thing felt like it took 4 hours.
And this whole thing with Buster now becoming president of baseball ops allows all those things to flood back. And yes, it feels like it's been 10 years since it happened, because it has, but it also feels very fresh in our mind, and it feels appropriate to have these emotions again, because one of those guys is now the guy.
I have those emotions. I tried at the press conference to run up and do a Buster hug. Almost got arrested.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was close.
You get the Heisman.
Close. Yeah. They were like, that's too soon.
Give me a no from us.
A little too much. How about just maybe another question?
Right.
We're not doing Buster hugs today. But anyway, sure. Like, I'm all in. Everybody get full excitement. You could feel that in the room. It just felt right. You're just looking at this, and it's like coming home after your first year away at college, or coming home for the Thanksgiving break when all your old high school friends get together on Wednesday night and have drinks the night before Thanksgiving. Like, that's what it felt like when you watched Bob Melvin and Buster Posey stride through the hallways of Oracle Park and walk up to the dais and sit down. And so even people who are just objective observers, I had multiple of them come up to me as we were about to sit down and go, wow, you know, like, so this is fun. This is exciting. And these are people that are not in the business of being Giants fans.
Right.
They're just in the business of covering the Giants. Even they, I think, had a little something in terms of butterflies in the belly.
Jaded, grizzled journalists.
Totally.
Softening up on a Tuesday.
Yeah, for at least 48 hours.
Right.
By Friday, they'll be crushing the guy. Anyway, River Island's guest line, let's do it. Yep, he's the owner of that perfect game in 2012, and quite a few Buster hugs himself. The Caner, Matt Cain, joining us here on Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. How fun to hear your voice. What's up, Matt?
No, not a whole lot. You guys doing good?
We're doing great, man, and I'm sure you can feel it. Everybody involved with the Giants organization, at least for the time being, feels so much better about things because of this move. What is your initial reaction?
Wait, what happened over there?
You know, somebody you know has got a new job.
New gig.
Gee, I mean, what can't he do? You know, I mean, this is unbelievable. I think it is super cool. I'm impressed. I'm honestly very, very impressed at him even taking this challenge on. And even, you know, obviously this has been introduced to him a while back. And it's a challenge that he's fully stepped into to be able to take on. And it's pretty impressive. So I'm super pumped for him, and I know he's going to do a good job, and he's going to put his full heart into it. So I'm excited to see everything.
Everyone's super pumped about it, and I guess the big question is, how does he go about applying what he did as a player, which was showing up most days and grinding and being professional and all the rest of it? How do you take those skills and that elite ability and apply it to the front office?
Well, I think his big attribute is he constantly showed up every day to every game. Even when he knew he wasn't in it, he was there and he had stuff to get done, and he was trying to figure out a way to put pieces in the correct spot all the time. He's a very methodical thinker. And we constantly saw that when he was behind the plate. So I think this is going to just really fall right into his lap, and into something that he's very confident into doing already. He has a great knack for being able to be able to pick and choose, and put pawns and queens and rooks and everything where they need to be able to be successful.
Maddie, have you talked to him since the announcement?
Yeah, I texted him and Affel at the same time, and I was asking if, you know, he would potentially look to sign me if I started working out next year. he said I was a potential, and he said Affel was way too old, so I got a chance.
Yeah, the two of you, like, right? I mean, I mentioned this to Dibs a few minutes ago.
As a player, no.
I know you are. Although a little birdie tells me, I never want to believe the internet just because it speaks. Is today your 40th birthday?
Yeah, it is. So yeah, I'm extra washed up now.
Yeah, first of all, happy birthday.
I appreciate it.
And second of all, what are you doing talking to us? What are you doing today?
I got coaxed into it. You know, I kind of felt like it was a good day to do it, so we're here.
What are the plans for tonight? You got to do something, right? Like go out there and not get some run support out in downtown or something like that, you know?
It'll probably involve eating a lot of cake. I'm pretty good at that.
Nice. Good stuff. Good. Well, the happy birthday, man. But
it
is kind of stunning to think about some of you guys and how quote unquote not old you are. Like Buster is 37 years old. And so you talk about his willingness to accept this challenge. I'd love to hear more about what you think this challenge is. You know, how different is this than what he was in his previous job?
Well, I think he was able to go out and physically show people what he was able to do, and it's in a way it's kind of easy to lead people that way. Now he's going to have to be kind of leading off of his eye and putting talent together in different places and not be as physically involved into it. So I think that's going to be a different challenge for him, is to be able to be moving people around and putting people into place and having the trust of that, because it's a little bit different when you're not going out there and hitting 310 and throwing guys out at second. You know, he's going to have to, it takes a little bit more faith and I think trust from the people around you. So I think he's already gained that trust by being able to obtain that position. So I think it's going to be, it'd be interesting and really fun for him to be able to deep dive into that other talent that he has.
Did you see this from him when you guys were playing together 15 years ago or so? Did you see that maybe, I don't know, if he'd be a manager or he'd be in baseball, let alone being a president of baseball ops?
I mean, we always thought of like him being, you know, a manager for sure. But did I see, no, No, did I see him in the front office like this? No, I didn't. But, you know, the more that I got to know Buster, and the more that I started to understand kind of the way that his mind works and how great he is with mathematics and just how methodical and how calculated he is, it doesn't surprise me now.
Matt, it's interesting that you say manager in his future for sure, and I know that this new job is only 2 days old, and I'm sure he wants to jump in with both feet, but do you still feel that way, that maybe someday he'd manage?
I mean, I wouldn't put it past him. I really wouldn't put it past him. I guess we'll kind of just see how it all plays out. I don't know. Is this usually a normal route that you go, is to go from, you know, president of baseball operations to managing? I feel like it'd be kind of the other way around, but I mean, you never know.
Yeah, it seems a little bit abnormal, but like you said, you know, Buster being Buster, you never know what he might be able to do. And you look at this team and where they sit now, and another year where they were just slightly sub 500 and not really doing what you guys did 10 years ago. Where do you see this team as their needs for improvement going into next season?
You know, that's where actually I haven't paid enough attention to really figure it out, but I think hopefully they are able to get pieces that they can put on the field, you know, that are healthy. And that's just kind of the luck of the draw sometimes. And sadly, you know, they had pieces that looked really, really good at the beginning of the year. And, you know, they just have injuries that don't work out well. So I think you have to have a little bit of luck, that goes along with it, from pieces that you do put together. And then you've got to have those wild cards that come up in the minor leagues, that do surprise you.
Matt Cain joining us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Matt, what is your perspective on what I think is somewhat central to everything that we're talking about, which is, sure, analytics, as Buster even said today, are not going anywhere. But has baseball kind of swung too far in that direction, and does it need to come back to the center a little bit more in your mind?
You're probably going to get a bad answer, or maybe I'm more of an old school person. So I would like to see it come back. But I think that's where I think Buster's a great person that's in the middle, because I think his brain and his heart kind of goes in both directions. Maybe I'm just a little jaded because I'm a little jealous that I didn't get some of that information when I was playing towards the end of my career, because I think it would have been very beneficial. But I think we can go both ways. I think it has swung a little too far, so it would be nice to kind of bring it back. Now, can I say exactly what needs to come back? No, I don't know, but I think it should. I think we do have to kind of come back some.
Well, I mean, you say you would have loved to have some of the information. I also think of you as a guy like you. You got to be sick to your stomach when you see everybody leaving in the fifth inning.
It's challenging. It's very challenging to see that. Yes, because that was definitely not the role as starters is what we were taught to play the game. You know, we were told that, hey, we were supposed to try to carry as much load as you could and throughout the season, and then have those guys saved up for the playoffs.
June 13th, 2012, it was my son's 11th birthday, and I'll never forget it because I was watching the game with my son, and you had Buster Posey in the squat on that day. What sort of guidance and help and memories do you have from your perfect game with Buster Posey, now president of baseball operations, that day when you were having your most special day?
Well, we kind of get back on the question that you guys asked me, like what he's able and capable of doing now in his position. And, you know, that night I was in a great physical state and I trusted him completely on every pitch that we called that night. And I went with it and didn't shake him off once. And it turned out to be a wonderful night. I mean, that didn't always happen. We had to have a lot of things mesh out together, and we had Blanco's play. We had the wind help the ball that Snyder hit in left field not go over the fence. You know, so I think that's where I think it'll be really cool to see Buster sit down and really work his magic with another group of talented people around him, try to see what they can pull out.
Well, Matt, you're talking about on the field. I wonder, like, let's take an even broader view of his leadership qualities and what you drew from that in the clubhouse and how you think that might translate to the new gig.
I think he's tremendous at it. I think he's got a great way of being able to speak the truth to guys, but he's also got an ability to earn guys and girls' trust, to be able to be approachable. And he listens to people. He wants to hear what's going on, and he wants to try to figure out how he can make it all work. And so I think that's where Buster does a tremendous job, and I see that with him doing that all the time with his wife and his kids, and he's a guy that really cares about the people around him, and he wants to find ways to lead, whether it's through being able to vocally say something or going out there and doing physically.
What other teammates that you guys played with do you think might be somebody he tabs to come in and join this new regime? Because it feels to me like Buster's going to turn back the clock a little bit, not turning totally away from analytics, but a little bit more of an old school approach. Is there anyone else that you guys played with that makes you think that they might be a fit for this new regime?
I could see Lopez being a great fit and Vogelsong being a great fit. There's probably so many guys. I mean, George is another great guy. I think he does a good job of being able to see both sides on the analytics and the physical side. We could probably go down a huge list with a lot of the guys that we've played with. But those are the handful of guys that I can think of right now.
Not a Matt Cain, perhaps? Cain?
I don't think that's... Not right now. No, not that I can think of.
Well, Ryan Vogelsong will join us in an hour and a half, so we'll ask him. We'll ask him if there he wants go. A gig. But
He'll throw me under the bus like I threw him under the bus.
Perfect. Matt, what about this? You might be the last guy that would expect this question, but one thing that was thrown out in a conversation we're even having with Dave Fleming yesterday is the idea of this ballpark and how it might have become a detractor in trying to sign offensive free agents. Now, you're a guy who probably benefited from this, but what are your thoughts on the ballpark as a hitter's park and how that might be, in a way, getting in the way of the Giants' pursuits right now?
Yeah, and that's where the last handful of years have the field's changed a lot. I mean, I guess we finally saw a splash hit to right field by a right-hander this year, which is kind of crazy. I didn't think about it, but I mean, that's a long ways to hit it to right field. But I don't think it's, I think it's not as bad as it used to be. Definitely watching games, I see balls, you know, kind of going a lot farther than I had expected. But it's always a little bit challenging. I mean, the wind and everything they're building around there changes the way that the ball carries there. So, it's hard to say, and I don't have the numbers in front of me to be able to say is it as much of a pitcher's park as it used to be. I mean, I don't see it as much of a pitcher's park as it used to be. So I think you can hit there, and we have had guys that can hit there and be successful.
I see a guy who had 7 home runs in his career, and 5 of them came at that park. So I mean, what's the big deal, Matt? You seem to be able to slug at home better than you were on the road.
Right. I mean, Bumgarner did too. And, you know, one of those homers that I hit was in Colorado. So, you know, that doesn't really count either, right? it's one of those things that it can play with your head. So if you let it, you let it. And if you don't, then you guys hit. I mean, Buster was extremely successful his entire career there.
Matt, it's wonderful to have you. And now we would like to let you go do your birthday.
I appreciate it. Y'all have fun.
All right. You too. Matt Cain on his 40th birthday.
Man.
Joining us on 95.7 The Game.
It's a great guy.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I told a story earlier about him joining us the day after his perfect game, which, you know, you throw a perfect game. If I ever threw a perfect game, you can go ahead and forget about me for about 10 days.
Forever.
Your boy's getting, I mean, I'm going everywhere and at all times. And yet the next day, called in on the morning show. By the way, I was doing mornings with Whitey and Crides, and it's about 9:30, so later in the morning, but yeah, Matt Cain's going to join us. Awesome dude.
Yeah, he's a great dude, although I'm really bummed to hear that he likes cake so much. If he thinks he's getting a cake later today, he's not, because one thing I know is Matt Cain gets no support.
That's solid. That's an easy four.
Ridiculous that he thinks someone's going to cook for him. That's not that. If he wants a cake, he can go to the store and buy one. I would imagine that's what his family's telling him tonight.
No doubt. And I just wanted to punch up his hitting numbers because I remember him as a good hitter, not quite Bumgarner levels, but he did have 7 home runs, 5 of them at that impossible to hit at ballpark.
Yep. Yep.
Remember pitchers hitting?
No.
Barely, right? Kaner had 7 home runs?
Yeah, it feels like it's one of those things. It's almost like naming your baby. You know what I mean? Like whenever, what's the name going to be? And then people judge it. They're like, that. And then by the time when they're 3 years old, you could never imagine naming them anything else.
Yeah.
And you can't even remember that process of like figuring that out. That's how pitchers hitting feels. Yeah. I don't even remember it. I do, but it feels like it's been gone forever. How many years has it been?
I would say 4 years.
Like it feels like 15. Right. It feels like 15. And I don't miss it.
Yeah. Well, I don't miss it either, except when something like this happens. When, like, Bumgarner was a fun at-bat. And Matt Cain, with, 7 home runs, he was at least a threat. Too many pitchers were not a threat. And that's why, ultimately, it was good that it was gone.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's a trivia question out there, and I don't know the answer to it, of who was the last pitcher to hit a home run.
Oh, overall or Giants?
No, overall.
Okay, because I
and
think...
And Giants, yeah.
Was it Logan Webb?
Might have been.
Say Logan Webb got a hold of one, or maybe he tripled. Logan tripled or something, which was crazy.
Well, it's to the point of the conversation, which is it feels like it's been so long since pitchers hit. It feels more than 4 years.
Remember when Johnny Cueto used to hit? Remember that? Remember
so
when he
fun.
Used to just go stand in the batter's box and just be like, yeah, whatever. Are you going to walk me? No? You're going to throw 3 strikes? All right, fine. I'll go sit down again.
I think it's been 3 years, actually. 2022.
That's it?
Yep.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
MLB's,
Do you guys remember Barry Zito getting a big hit in St. Louis in that do-or-die game in the 2012 NLCS?
Like, in a very vague way. What did he do?
I think he slapped it down the line the opposite way.
Oh, you're right. He did. Yeah.
He pitched a gem.
Yep.
And he also gave himself some run support.
Oh, my gosh. Like, 3 times a year, it would give you this, like, really fun, sort of memorable, laughing memory. 3 times a year.
Yep.
159 times a year, you'd be like, what the hell is this guy doing with a bat? What are we doing? I mean... The number of pitchers who could really hit the ball well, like through my entire lifetime, 49 years of watching Giants baseball, there's probably like 5 guys. I don't mean the burger, but like 5 guys. Remember Don Robinson?
He was good.
Don could hit. Don could hit. Mad Bum, obviously, first name that comes to
mind. Logan Webb. Yeah, first career home run in the final game of the regular season in 2021.
We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. All right, we're going to take your phone calls, any Buster reaction, let you hear more of the press conference coming up next. But also, first order of business. I really think Buster needs to do this, and we'll tell you exactly what that is coming up next on Willard and Dibbs.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.